Lord, we thank you for your people that we can come to your words this morning, O God. Speak to us powerfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Follow me. Wow. Just two words, follow me. Do you know that many parts of the world, the churches, is using this theme, follow me, because of what has happened to the world. The churches around has come to a realization that we have to come back to the basic. And what is the basic? Jesus said, follow me. Just two words, follow me. Follow me, not because of benefit, a follower of benefit. Follow me because I want you to be my disciple. I want you to be like me. And what does it mean? It means to deny yourself, to take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Follow him wherever he leads you. You know, and some places that he leads you is not to your convenience. It's not to your comfort. It's not to your liking. It may be even against the current trend and the impulse of our world. But one thing for sure, when you are willing to follow him, he is able to empower you to shine as his disciple, as his disciple in this world, because this world is very confused about what Christianity is all about. And if they are not going to understand Christianity, they have to see Christ in who? In you and in me. And the only way they can see Christ in us is when we become a disciple that follow Jesus Christ. I pray that you are able to sing this song, I Will Follow by Chris Stoneling. This is how the song goes. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. You know, one of the things as a pastor, the youth, you know, especially this young youth, you know, as they, when they go to the university, they meet a lot of friends. Yeah? And some of the friends like to go to a nightclub, like to go to disco, and they will come and ask me, Pastor, is it okay for me to go? I will say to them, if Jesus can go with you, if Jesus cannot go with you, you shouldn't what? You shouldn't go. So this is what the song says. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. When you move, I will move. I will follow you. Who you love, I will love. Who you serve, I will serve. If this life I choose, I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. And then, of course, the word, yeah. Actually, sometimes you have a song with the word, yeah, it sounds, you can drag. You know, and this, I pray that this is a song that we are able to sing when we follow him. We've been looking at our grace value, generosity, relational, you know, active, Christ-like. And today is the final deposit on our grace value called excellence. Follow me in excellence. And I'm going to read John chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 17. Let's turn to John chapter 13. It's a very familiar verse. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from the Father and was going back to the Father, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he has girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed need only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." Verse 12. So when he has washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. None is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know this thing, blessed are you if you do them." If you know them and you do them, the Bible says you are blessed. So today, we're going to talk about excellence. When we talk to you about our grace value, generosity, and our relational, active, Christ-like, and excellent, we are not saying something that is up like a pie, that you cannot do it. We are saying something that by the power of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit empowerment, you can do it. And also, we want you to know, not only you can do it, the church can also do it. We have a church van that we've been using for the last 10 years. I want to thank Michael Bate for faithfully using the church van every Sunday to fetch people to church. And we decided in the board that we will give this church van away. And when we give this church van away, we are actually practicing our grace value. We are practicing what? Generosity. I want to thank God that in the month of March, you know, we collected more than 3,000 to bless Sharon as she goes back to Sri Lanka. In the month of March, you know, we have nine children, you know, from Compassion Australia that has been adopted and sponsored. And it is great. It is great that we can be generous. So now, you know, the church board said, "Pastor, let's give this van away to someone who is in need." So, generosity. In giving away the van is also what? Relation. In giving away the van is also what? Active. What is active? When you see a need, you hear a need, you meet that need. We know this brother, this man who is serving the Lord needs a vehicle. His vehicle is dying. You know, he has a family with four children. He came and preached a few weeks ago from Compassion Australia Army. So we decided we will give it to him. And then in doing that, we are also being what? We are being Christ-like. But the important part is not just giving. It's being what? Excellent. What is excellent? Biblical excellence is to give your best and do the best according to the ability that God has given to you. Now, we can give him the van and say, "Take it as it is. You do whatever you need to do." But we decided in the board that if you want to give this van away, we're going to make sure it's serviced, the brake is good, the timing belt is changed. And not only just to give him away, we got to make sure that he is washed and polished and detailed. And not only that, if you notice our van, the old van, the number plate is so faded that you can't even see. The good thing is that if you speed over a camera, they can't take a shot, they don't know the number. That's the only. But it's not right. So we even changed the number plate and give him a brand new numberably. That is being excellent. The value to do all this, including the van, is about 4,000 to 6,000. But it's being generous, it's being relational, it's being active, it's being Christ-like, it's being excellent. And it's very important that we can practice excellence, because God wants us to do our best for Him. Because He do it. We can only do it through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of His grace in us. How many of you can put up your hand and say, Jesus lives in you? Come, put up your hand. Everyone else can say, Jesus lives in you. How about letting Jesus live through you? Hello? We all know Jesus lives in us. But how about letting Jesus live what? Through you. And I like what Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, we now have this light shining in our heart. What is this light? This Jesus shining in our heart. But we ourselves is like fragile clay containing this great treasure. The gospel has come into my heart through the light of the gospel. And it is in my heart, it is a treasure. Say the word treasure with me. It is a good treasure. And then Paul said this word, but then if this Jesus, this gospel, this treasure that is in this life of mine, this life, when you look at this life, I'm just a fragile clay. How many of you realize that? We are not Superman or Superwoman. We are just a normal person. We have our weakness, we have our failures, we have our shortcomings. But he said that, but because this treasure is in us, then it's very clear that our great power is from God and not from who? Not from ourselves. Everything we are, everything we want to do, everything we want to achieve and accomplish is not because we do it by our own strength, our own mind. We do it by the power of His Holy Spirit. That Christ in you, that all the essential of Christ is in there. Now, I just need to help, ask Him to help me to unlock it so that it can be what? Released out of me. I know sometime you like me. You like me, you feel broken, dysfunctional, and incomplete. Come on, we have been there. But the problem is that when we feel this way, we are looking at who? We are looking at ourselves. And it's so easy to become so self-conscious that we become less what? God-conscious. That we are looking at ourselves and we see all this. But we forgot. We forgot to look deeper inside. That inside of us live Christ. And He is able to live in us and through us so that we can be and do our best for His glory. Biblical excellence is pursuing the gift and the talent. Every one of you here got gift and talent. At least got one. Maybe some of you got more. What it means? It means that, God, I'm going to use this gift and this talent that you have for me. And whatever you have for me, I want to use it to the best of my ability. I don't want to bury it. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to burn it. I don't want to spend it. I want to use all that you have given to me for your glory. Yes, if I'm in the workplace, I want to be the best in what God has. Make me. And at home, with anywhere, I want to be the best because you have given me gift and ability that I can use. And now I ask, Holy Spirit, empower me because you live in me. Can we be and do our best for Jesus Christ? How many of you say yes? Put up your hand. Come on. Come on. But to do that, you have to be conscious of your surrounding. You have to have an open eyes, an open ear, and a what? An open mind. Many of us, when you talk about excellence, we think big. But I'm going to tell you, start to do excellence with the little things, with the small things. Do you realize that The last two Sundays when we sang, the words doesn't get out. How many of you realize that? You don't notice? Every time we sing, the words sometimes goes out, sometimes it's not in the screen. How many of you don't notice that? I sit, stand there, I sing, I get troubled. I say, why? Why? I'm sure we can fix that. But it's not fixed. So, two weeks ago, I called Charles and Pastor Jim. I said, look, I'm standing here. Every time I see it, it troubles me. Because we talk about excellence, but why is my E not fully today? And it's not fixed. Can we fix it? And the answer to me is, we can fix it. And so they fix it. So now when we sing, at least the words is within the screen. You see, many of us forget, if you want to be excellent, start with the little things. And when you do with the little thing, it becomes what? An habit in your life. Eventually, all other things you pay attention to. So we can. We can, and we must be open to what we can do in Christ with our gifting and ability. Biblical excellence. But then we fight against an excellence that is in our world. The world view of excellence is totally different from the Bible. You see, it's totally different from what Jesus called us to be and to do. The word excellence is a big word in the corporate world. If you are working in a company, you will know what it means because they talk about it all the time, excellence. We see the word excellence as the motto, the mission, the core value, the driving force, and the motivation of many companies. You look at Yahoo, they talk about excellence. You talk about IBM, this is what they say, excellence as a way of life. So, next PowerPoint. So this world has an idea of what excellence should be. But this worldly value must not come to where? Must not come to where? Must not come to the church. Must not come into our life. So what is the value in the corporate world? This is what excellence in the corporate world means. The company ability to outsmart its competitor consistently over a period of time. Basically, when the world talk about excellence, business people talk about excellence, it's talking about being a market leader, to be one up over others. And what do they mean? They mean that in order to be excellent, this is the world, in order to be excellent, we must build our company on competition. We compete for the market share, compete for superiority, compete for customer. And we must never allow the view of this world of excellence to come into us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus never called us to compete. Jesus called us to complement and what? Cooperate. That's what we are called to do. And we must follow what the Bible calls us, you know. And don't allow the spirit of this age, the spirit of this world to influence us, because competition is driven by insecurity for significance and success. But we know we are created in the image of God. And God said, be excellent, because God is excellent. But the world said, be excellent and be conformed to their standard. Jesus said, be excellent, be transformed to what? My image. So, all of us, it is easy to have a competitive spirit in a world that is so competitive. Striving for better and better performance and result. Our parents tell us, don't lose out to others. Our colleague, you know, want to pull us down so that they can climb higher and higher. So competition in the workplace, in the school, you know, it's second nature. It's possible that this become the frame of mind even in the church. But it should never be, say amen. In the church, it's never about competition. It's about cooperation. It's about complementing one another. So, the passage that we just read, John chapter 13. The disciples also have this problem. They compete with one another. And how do they compete? They just ask one simple question. The simple question they asked was, who is the greatest among us? Just one question. The question became a discussion. From a discussion, it became an argument, a disagreement, a dispute, and finally, there was conflict among themselves. Have you ever done that before? People talk and argue until their face turned blue. That's what happened to the disciple. And I like Jesus. I like Jesus because it's not that he doesn't knew what they were doing. He knew. And Jesus asked them, what were you discussing about? Jesus, who knew that they were arguing and competing, Jesus asked them, what are you discussing about? You know what the Bible said? They were what? They were silent. They didn't want to answer Jesus. Have you ever been in such a place? Arguing over nothing? Arguing over, you know, the least important to God? Arguing over what is non-essential? And you know, husband and wife, sometimes they argue. By the time the argument finish, everything finished, they look at each other, what did we argue about? And it's possible. You know, and it's like the church in Corinthians. They argue which gift is more important, which gift is needed. And then Paul had to tell them, let me show you a more excellent way. And what is the excellent way? It's the way of love. So Jesus took this opportunity to teach his disciple. He teach the disciple with his own life. He is our perfect example that excellence is not about performance. It's not about position. It's not about privilege. It's not about power. It's not about possession. What did Jesus teach them? He teach them excellence is about servanthood. Every year about this time, people will wash feet. And this foot washing is done by religious group. And it's possible that they do it and miss the reason what Jesus was trying to teach his disputing disciple. The night before Christ's crucifixion, at the Last Supper, the disciple was discussing who was the greatest. And Jesus knew he's going to leave. He had to teach them a lesson on servanthood. And he knew that just to speak to them, you know, sometimes you speak, it's not good enough. So Jesus said he need to do an illustration with his own life, with his own hand. He need to do something that will capture their heart and leave a deep impact in their heart. The Creator God, the King of Glory, the Messiah, the Teacher, the Master, the Lord, lower himself as a servant to wash their feet. In biblical time, they don't have bitumen road like what we have. The place is unpaved. And so it is dusty and dirty. And they don't wear shoe. They wear sandal. And there's one thing for sure, they don't wear socks because there was no socks at the time. Thank God whoever come up with this good idea of socks. You know. And so when they are walking, when they are walking, when they come to someone's house, you always find a jar of water, a basin, and towel, so that they were to remove their sandal and wash their feet before they enter in. It's a common practice. Now, who is to wash the feet of someone visiting your house? You don't wash your own feet. Who is supposed to do it? It's always the lowest in the household. And who is the lowest in the household? Is the servant or the youngest at home? Of course, in those days, and I tell you, husband, don't try it, you can get killed. In those days, wife washed their husband's feet. Don't do it. Not a good thing to do in today's world. You know, and so the one that is the lowest would do it. And so Jesus took this occasion. His feet was not washed by the house that he visited. His feet was not washed by any other disciple, because they're all saying, we are too important. Who is most important? Why would they want to wash Jesus' feet? So Jesus took this time while they are disputing to wash their feet and teach them and show us three attitudes that if we are to serve like Jesus served, as a servant with excellence, that we are not to lord over others, not to dominate or not to take advantage or have an upper hand over others, but simply be a servant and serve others with excellence. So what do you need to have these three attitudes? First, attitude number one, I am secure, I serve. Verse 3 to verse 5, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he has come from God and will return to God. Jesus knew God has already given him everything. He comes from God, he is going to God. That means what? Jesus knew his identity and Jesus is secure in the Father. The disciple did not know their identity. The disciple were not secure. They knew something big is going to happen. Jesus said, what will you be talking about? Hey, I'm going to leave. So something big is going to happen. And Jesus had been talking about it for a while. And when they talk about that, the disciple mind is this, well, Jesus is going, is he going to establish his kingdom? If he's going to establish his kingdom on this earth, it's time for each one of us to set up our place, set up ourselves in a place of position. And I want the best place. None of them want to miss the opportunity of something big coming. None of them wants to be less important than others. None of them. So what does it mean? I'm not secure. An insecure person is always worried about what? Appearance. Self-image. What will people say? What will people think? You need to be secure in God. Say amen to that. And so they are insecure. And so they see that appearance is important. They don't want to be found in a situation where they don't look good or appear important than the others. You see, the world tells us that we need to make ourselves look good in front of others and we need to lift ourselves up to demonstrate how important I am. That's the world. The Bible says opposite. The Bible says that, but for those who exalt themselves will be humble, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Insecurity stopped the disciple from serving that evening. They did not want to look as what? Not disciple of Jesus Christ. They do not want to be known as what? Foot washer. They did not want to do the little things, because if they do this little thing of washing feet, then they will sin. Unimportant, insignificant, you know, and little people. They want to have a good appearance, a good self-image of themselves. So, they don't have the same attitude that Jesus had. The attitude that Jesus had was that in Philippians chapter 5, chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 8, you must have the same attitude that Jesus had. We and I need the same attitude that Jesus had to humble ourselves, to serve one another. And Jesus said this, you must have the same attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a servant and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal death on the cross. Jesus was not concerned about appearance. He was concerned about what? Attitude. Right attitude. More than right appearance. He was secure in the Father. He lived to please the Father. He was free from the pleasure, from the pressure of appearance. What would people think and say about him? How about you? If you live your life hoping for the approval of men, you will be disappointed because they change the goalposts all the time. But for Jesus Christ, he was secure. Right attitude or right appearance. Washing the feet was done by the lowest person, but Jesus, secure in the Father with the right attitude of humility, lowered himself, took the basin and the towel and washed his disciples' feet. And he even washed the person who's going to betray him, Judas Iscariot. His security and right attitude enabled him to go to the cross. The law in Australia is changing more and more against Christianity. Without security in the Father, where you come from, where you are going, that the Father has given you everything and the right attitude, you will not be able to stand up for Jesus when the time comes. Look at Peter. He refused to let Jesus wash his feet. But he proudly said, I will die for you, Lord. Peter did the opposite. Why? Why did Peter say, don't wash my feet? Peter was worried about appearance. Insecurity and fear of what people would think and say about him. If you are insecure and cannot do the little things for Jesus, serving Jesus, doing what Jesus did to serve, it will be hard for you to do the big things. The servant attitude. The servant attitude. In God's kingdom, the same attitude that allows you to do the little things empowers you to do a lot, the big things. Serving little to serving big. It begins with security in God, in who you are, where you have been with Him. Many of us, we have different journey, but our journey has only one goal. And what is that goal? To be more like what? Jesus Christ. We may take different journey, but our goal is the same. So when you are secure in Jesus Christ, on who He is to you, and you are secure in the journey, when you look back, how God has led you, some through the storm, some through fire, some through water, but it's always God there. I've gone through those journeys, and those journeys affirm me that I am His child. He will not let me sink or drown or burn. Then knowing where you are going, then you can say this with me. Say with me, I am secure. I serve like Jesus served. So, excellent servanthood. First, I need to be what? Secure. Second, I am undistracted. I serve. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour has come. Now, that night, when the disciple was with him, it was a big night because they were separating what? What were they observing? The Passover. All the years, the Jewish people have been observing the annual Passover. And what is this Passover? This Passover is about Jesus Christ. And before the eyes of the disciple, what they have been doing every year, the Passover, here is Jesus, is about to happen in a few hours' time. Yeah. You would think that these disciples would have gathered around Jesus to affirm and support him. They did not. They only thought about themselves. In the darkest hour, the crisis point of Jesus' earthly life, as he prepared to go to the cross. Later, Jesus went to the garden and prayed, and he sweat as blood because of the agony he was going through, it would be easy for Jesus to say, "Hey, I don't want to do it. Pass the buck. Someone else can do it. I have more important and greater things to do." He could make excuses to say, "Why me?" and not others. But Jesus was not distracted within or by what was ahead. He was focused. He was not distracted. He thought his hour has come. Death is just hours ahead. Pain is just hours ahead. He was focused. He was not distracted. He was focused to teach his disciple on servanthood is excellent. Jesus served to his final hour. No distraction, no excuses, no procrastination, no second thought. Even Sir Judas Iscariot, Jesus never was distracted. He lowered himself as a servant and served. We can easily be distracted. How many of you realize that? Distracted when praying, distracted when hearing the word. I hope you're not thinking what you're going to eat after lunch. We can easily be distracted, distracted from serving others, distracted caused Peter to sing, distracted caused David to forget he is God's servant, to serve God and serve God's people. One of the greatest distractions in modern time is what? It's a mobile phone. I need to check the message, the email, the YouTube, the WhatsApp. I hope that if you are using the mobile phone, you are following my sermon, not looking at some other thing. I may not be able to see, but God is above. He can see from below. It's one of the greatest distractions, and it's so bad that if you take away the mobile phone away from someone, it's like cutting air out of their breathing system. I cannot breathe. I'm dying. Not Jesus. He was not distracted. He served. And he wants you and I not to be distracted, but to be undistracted, to serve as he served. Not, "I'm not available, just too busy, too many things on my plate. What do I get out of it?" Or sometime, "I'm offended and misunderstood, and I'm not willing to serve anymore." If there is, I would have given up the ministry long time ago. I would have given up serving God's people long time ago. The Lord, the night before his crucifixion, he faithfully served. He took off his outer garment, put the towel around his waist, poured water in the basin, got down to the floor, and started to wash the disciples' feet, one by one. And when it came to Judas Iscariot, the one who's going to betray him, to Jesus, it was just another feet that need to be washed. He did not say, "I cannot serve you because you do not serve me. I cannot love you because you do not love me." You know, Jesus just served. And I think it's important for us to focus on the first thing first, and that is what? Is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. To seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. What's the first thing first? Is I love God, I serve God, and I serve God by serving his people. It's so easy for us to be distracted. But may I encourage you, don't get distracted. Serve. Be willing to serve others. Have you ever thought for a moment, where would you be if others was not willing to be the servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where would I be if it was not because of a teacher who is faithfully serving, sharing about Christ? Where would you be if it's not because of some faithful people serving, sharing? So we need to be undistracted and say, "I serve in whatever capacity God has put me. I serve as a servant with excellence. If I have to wash, I wash the best. If I have to cook, I cook the best. If I have to vacuum, I vacuum the best. If I have to visit, I visit and give my best. That's what it means. I can only ask you, and God can only ask you, give your what? Your best. Not your leftover. The third thing, I am love, I serve. After washing his disciples' feet, Jesus told them in verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. What does it mean? It means that Jesus has served the disciple. Now Jesus said, now go and serve other people. Do you realize that everything we do or everything we are is because of what Jesus has done? We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he forgave us. We bless because he blessed us. We don't do our nothing. It's always at the outcome of what God has done for us. So God is saying, what I have done for you, now duplicate it. Be just like I am. The first step to excellence in servanthood is receiving the love of God. The love of God shed upon our heart in the power of the Holy Spirit. The love is shed. And when the love of God is shed, may he remove all the bitterness and all the ugliness. And then allow the river of love and servanthood to flow out of our heart, because the source is God. You cannot make it, you cannot fake it, you cannot manufacture it. It must come and flow from God himself into your heart. His love flows into you and you are flowing out. That's why he. That's why I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid. I don't care if people reject, if I'm good to them. They are not rejecting men, they are rejecting the law. Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet. What was his issue? Was it pride? I believe his biggest problem was this. If the Master, the Lord and the Master can wash my feet, that means there is no feet that I cannot wash. Can you see that? If God can humble and wash Peter's feet, that means there is no feet that Peter can say no. If he washed my feet, I can wash anybody's feet. If he served me, I can serve anyone. Peter was not ready for that. He was ready to follow Jesus. Jesus, you want to destroy the Romans? I'm here. Jesus, you want to feed the 5,000? I'll go with you. You want to pray for the sick and raise the dead? I'm here with you. But he was not sure whether he wanted to follow Jesus by going on his knee to wash someone's feet. Jesus showed us by his own action that when you serve others, you are demonstrating the love of God that is in you. And he said, this is a priority. You know, Jesus was not worried about self-image. He showed his love in humble service. He showed us by words and deeds that you cannot call yourself a disciple if you are unwilling to serve others as a servant. What example for us to follow? To serve in servanthood with excellence. Think of this. If Jesus, the teacher and the Lord, can serve his disciple, we can serve anyone. Anyone. When Jesus girded himself, take the water and pour into the basin, he was pouring his life, his love on his disciple. And he called us to do the same. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us this thing in Proverbs. When you water others, you are also what? water. When you refresh others, you are also refreshed. When you bless others, you are also blessed. When you serve others, you are also what? Served. That's the teaching of the Bible. So different from the world. If I ask you this question, Jesus was a servant, what would your answer be? What? Yes. If I ask you the second question, that Jesus wants you to be a servant, what will your answer be? What? Yes. The problem is not knowing the answer. You can know the answer. We all know the answer, not just in servanthood, answer in many things. Not knowing. The problem is not knowing the answer. The problem is what? Doing it. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus never said, if you know these things, you are blessed. We know a lot of things, but we are not blessed. What did Jesus say? If you know this thing, you are blessed if you are doing. I want to encourage you today with the grace value of generosity, relational, active, Christ-like, and excellent. You know all this thing. Do it. And what? And be blessed. How can we wash someone's feet? Start by giving time to people. Sometimes people just need you to sit down and listen to them, their struggle, their pain. Giving a cup of water, visiting someone who is sick in the hospital or at home, cooking a meal for someone who could not, you know, and inviting someone to your house. When you see a need, meet a need. And I tell you, Grace City Church is blessed with many talented people and gifted people. And we want to serve like Jesus serves. Serve as a servant with excellence. So when you serve others, we serve with excellence. That is the attitude of a what? Of a servant. Starts with, I'm secure. I'm secure. I serve. I am undistracted. I serve. Thirdly, I'm loved. I serve. These three things God has given to each one of us that is here. I pray that the culture in this house will change so great. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord. Being a blessing. This house is a rich house, it's a blessed house. God has given us great people. I want to pray that you'll be released to do what God has stirred your heart to do. That the generosity that is in you will be released. Relational in you, activeness, Christ-likeness, and excellence will be released. We are a great house, a blessed house. Now he said to you, follow me. Follow me and be my disciple. Be what I am. Sometimes you struggle, sometimes you feel you don't have the strength, you don't have the capacity. He said it is within you. If you were to deny yourself, take up the cross, and see how my grace empowers you to follow me. Would you stand up with me this morning? Let's lift our hands to Him. I'm going to pray for God to just bring a greater release into your life. And after I pray, the service is dismissed. If you have any prayer needs, you need personal prayer, you come forward and I will pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we stand before you, complete in Jesus Christ. We declare there is nothing lacking in our life. The fullness of the Godhead is within us. Help us to live in the power of your Spirit. Help us not to limit you. Help us to grow in you. Lord, I pray, Father, that each individual that is here, may your generosity, may relation, may your powering Holy Spirit activate in each one of us, that we truly will become your disciple, following you as servant in excellence. Bless every individual that is here. Meet every need. Remove every obstacle in their life, Father. Send for your light so that darkness dispel. Bring clarity to their hearts and to their mind so that they are able to see you. Secure in you, O God. Undistracted, unloved by you. That, Lord, they may know you, that you have given them everything, their journey with you, and where you will bring them next. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. If you need prayer, you come forward. We'll pray for you.